hear his word, let us pray. The sunrise morning show.
It is Friday, the 21st of January, the Feast of St. Agnes of Rome, also our March for Life pregame show. Let's pray a prayer for the intercession of some American saints for the cause of life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, you knew the beauty of all human life when you carried a child in your womb. And when, as a young widow, a teacher and founder of the Sisters of Charity, you sought to live the gospel of life. Inspire us, intercede for us, and be with us. We ask this through Christ our Lord. You know the sacrament of holy matrimony. Teach us to support all families with faith and truth. You knew the love of a good spouse. Intercede for all newly married couples. You know the stirring of the child in your womb. Intercede for every unborn child. You know the miracle of giving birth. Pray for mothers tempted by abortion. Amen. That's actually day one, the prayer for day one of a novena to a series of American saints, including John Neumann and Mother Cabrini, that you can find the full text of at sunrisemorningshow.com. A nice little novena to the American saints as we pray for an end to abortion here in the United States of America. I'm Matt Swaim. Anna Mitchell has news. Paul Lockman at the controls. It is the March for Life pregame show that we do every year here on the Sunrise Morning Show. Other people may do it better, but nobody does it earlier. Up this hour, we got some great guests coming along. We're going to talk to Jeannie Mancini at the end of the hour, organizer of the March for Life, where I think her first interview of the day. Pretty cool. We'll talk to Mike Aquilina from fathersofthechurch.com. Since today is the Feast of St. Agnes, we're going to look at her and how her witness of innocence and purity helped change a culture of death in the Roman Empire. Father Hezekias Carnazzo will be along, also Ken Craycraft, about whether or not this might be the last March for Life, or at least the last one that is set to combat Roe v. Wade. We'll see. So, stay with us if you can. Right now, it is 2 minutes past the hour. Here's Anna Mitchell with news.
Good morning. Tens of thousands of pro-lifers have descended on Washington, D.C. for today's March for Life. The theme for this year's march is Equality Begins in the Womb. The list of speakers for the rally on the National Mall includes Father Mike Schmitz, actor Kirk Cameron, Duck Dynasty star Lisa Robertson, and two members of Congress. Meanwhile, the closing mass for the nationwide prayer vigil for life at the National Shrine in D.C. will begin at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. Boston's Cardinal Sean O'Malley will serve as principal celebrant. The Supreme Court is rejecting another bid by abortion clinics to block the Texas heartbeat law. Brian Shook reports.
The ruling was 6-3 along ideological lines. It's another setback for abortion providers who are trying to revive challenges to the law about 5 months after it went into effect. A federal appeals court had previously sent the case to the state's highest court, meaning the law will stay in place for the foreseeable future. I'm Brian Shook.
A new German report on sexual abuse is criticizing Pope Emeritus Benedict for his time as Archbishop of Munich. The report claims he mishandled 4 cases. The Catholic News Agency reports that the former pontiff has strongly denied allegations of cover-up and submitted 82 pages of observations to investigators in his defense. Christian advocacy group Open Doors says Afghanistan is now the most dangerous place in the world to be a Christian. The Catholic News Agency reports the country, now run by the Taliban, has unseated North Korea, which now sits at number 2 on the list. Somalia, Libya, Yemen, Eritrea, Nigeria, Pakistan, Iran, and India round out the top 10. Pope Francis yesterday spoke to members of Italy's National Association of Building Contractors, highlighting Christian values that can help business in their work and relations with workers. From Vatican Radio, Francesca Merlo reports.
Pope Francis described it as a Christian interpretation of the values that inspire their organization, and these are competition and transparency, responsibility and sustainability, and ethics, legality and security. Beginning with competition and transparency, the Pope noted that competition alone is not enough. Competition, he said, must be an incentive to do one's work well and to improve rather than being a desire for domination and exclusion. This is why transparency in decision-making processes and economic choices is essential, continued the Pope. It makes it possible to avoid unfair competition, which in the economic and labor spheres often means the job losses, support for undeclared work or underpaid work, he explained. The Pope then went on to speak of responsibility and sustainability. He explained that sustainability involves the regenerative capacity of every ecosystem. In the building sector, it is essential to use materials that offer people safety. Yet at the same time, he said, we must avoid exploiting the environment by cooperating in making certain particularly exploited territories unviable. Finally, Pope Francis turned to ethics, legality, and safety. He noted that last year, too many people died at work. They are not numbers, stressed the Pope, but real people. If we look at safety in the workplace as a cost, we are starting from the wrong assumption, stressed the Pope. He explained that people are the real wealth, and that without them there is no working community, no business, and no economy. Working safely allows everyone to express the best of themselves while earning their daily bread, concluded the Pope, adding that the more we take care of the dignity of work, the more certain we are that the quality and beauty of the work carried out will increase. Pope Francis concluded with a prayer to St. Joseph, patron saint of workers, asking that he might support them in their efforts, before asking that they pray for him, too. I'm Francesca Merlo.
Nearly 80% of planes are now cleared to land at airports with the new 5G phone service. The FAA approved more of the fleet after saying it would limit landings in low visibility conditions. The concern is that 5G signals could interfere with crucial aircraft equipment. Major airlines have warned the service from Verizon and AT&T would disrupt flights. Both carriers agreed this week to delay turning on towers near key airports. And a man considered a rock and roll legend has died. Meat Loaf passed away last night. The Grammy-winning singer, born Marvin Lee Adday, became famous in the 70s for playing Eddie in the Rocky Horror Picture Show and then went on to have one of the biggest selling albums ever in 1977. Meat Loaf died last night with his family by his side. He was 74 years old.
Wow. I was trying to think, as I saw that news this morning, if we've ever done any Meat Loaf songs with Bill Donaghy on Twisted Mystics.
I would do anything for love, but so, I won't do that. I wonder if you've ever done that one.
I don't think we have, but...
Well, maybe Bill will be inspired to look into the music of Meat Loaf.
I don't know.
But may he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace. Complicated figure, Meat Loaf was.
For sure.
So, but I think we all know at least a couple of Meat Loaf songs.
You're welcome for not singing it.
No, who could? Nobody can sing Meat Loaf except for Meat Loaf.
You're not kidding.
An iconic voice, to be sure. Thanks for being with us on this 21st day of the month of January. It is 8 minutes past the hour. The Sunrise Morning Show continues. I'm Matt Swaim, joined now by Mike Aquilina from fathersofthechurch.com. Mike, good morning.
Morning, Matt.
So the Feast of St. Agnes of Rome is January the 21st. It's also a day when many of us gather to celebrate the sanctity of life and to remind ourselves that we need to constantly be fighting for the sanctity of life. And we'll connect that all in a little bit. But first of all, what can you tell us about the story of St. Agnes?
Well, she was a girl, a young girl. She was probably about 11 or 12 years old when she died. And by that time, she had already made the decision to consecrate herself entirely to the Lord, to consecrate herself to lifelong virginity, a life of prayer and study and service to the church. So That was the case. Now, Agnes came from a very noble family, a wealthy family in Rome. She was one of the aristocrats, and she was very beautiful. They said she had very long blonde hair, and this was something that was rare, and it was prized by the guys in her class and in her city. So she received many proposals of marriage, and she refused them because she had given her life to the Christ. And one of these guys who got turned down was pretty angry about it, and he had wounded pride, so he denounced her as a Christian. And, of course, at that time, the practice of the Catholic faith was illegal in the empire, and it was a capital crime. So she was condemned, to torture first, and then to death for this. Now, one thing I want to point out is that Agnes is representative of a whole class of young women who were denounced for refusing proposals of marriage. One of the things that was most revolutionary in early Christianity was the vocational freedom that our faith afforded to women. This was something that was reinforced by the fathers of the church, that women should have vocational freedom. If God called them to commit their lives completely, then they had the right to refuse marriage proposals. Well, that wasn't sitting well with pagan Rome, and it was seen as a threat to the social order. It was seen as a threat to the traditional family in Rome, because it seemed to be a rejection of the father's authority, because the father had the power to arrange marriages. So this is kind of the complex of circumstances that were there at the time of Agnes's trial and her execution.
So with all that, I mean, obviously this is another of many martyrdoms in the early church that kind of backfires and has the opposite effect. Instead of it discouraging people from becoming Christian, it actually emboldens Christians and creates sympathy for the cause, right?
Yes. You know, that's an interesting effect. There's at least one historian who has proposed that Agnes's death was a seismic event in the history of Rome. Because if you think about it, the persecutions had been going on for about 250 years at that point. Long time, you know, so there was this was an established order of things. But Christian, the church kept growing. There were more Christians every year, and this created a problem for Rome, because they had to do away with so many of these people because of their laws. They had to do away with so many of these people who were otherwise good citizens. They paid their taxes, they served in the military, and so on. But Agnes, because she was so beautiful, because she was a member of the nobility, and so a very public person in the city of Rome, and because she faced her death with such courage, this became a major event in Rome, and it was witnessed by so many people that they say that this may have been the event that turned the tide of public sympathy in favor of the Christians for the first time. That people, you know what, this just isn't right. What we're doing, what we've become, is something ugly. This is not the nobility of ancient classical Rome. We've become something else, and we've got to think about this, and we've maybe got to change our ways. So that was an opening for the eventual legalization of Christianity, which came just a few years later.
And, of course, we invoke her today as a martyr, an innocent life who died for Christ. And, you know, of course, it's hard not to make a connection, Mike, when we are marking the anniversary of Roe v. Wade and the millions of innocent lives that have been taken through abortion over the past several decades. Do you think it's appropriate to invoke St. Agnes as a patron saint in this cause?
Absolutely, because she was all about the root causes of this issue, a callousness toward the value of human life. For example, you know, that a woman like Agnes could be tortured, though innocent, publicly tortured and then executed. That was a horror, that she was willing to die for the sake of her chastity. That also is directly addressing one of the root causes of this crisis. And the other thing is that Agnes stood up for the true dignity and freedom of women. You know, not the kind of value that Rome, that pagan Rome, placed on young women, but the true dignity and freedom that were granted to women by their creator. So all of these things are symbolized really in the life of Agnes and the death of Agnes. And sure, you know, I think we should absolutely be invoking her as a patron of the cause of life in the United States today, because our empire is starting to look quite a lot like the empire that she lived in, and we've got to fight it, and we've got to fight it successfully as she did.
St. Agnes, pray for us. Mike Aquilina, if our listeners want to connect with you and to find more of your resources and books, especially about the early church, where do they go?
You want to find out about me? Fathersofthechurch.com. If you want to see my books, go to CatholicBooksDirect.com. CatholicBooksDirect.com.
You can, of course, find that linked at SunriseMorningShow.com. Go pick up a whole bunch of books by Mike Aquilina. Good reads on these cold days. Speaking of cold days, if you are marching for life in Washington, D.C. today, I hope you've brought some layers. So right now, check on the weather for the nation's capital. It's 21 degrees, mostly cloudy in D.C. Feels like negative 8 because the wind is coming out of the north at about 13 miles per hour. Again, mostly cloudy. No sun, really. You might see a little bit of sun intermittently. Noon, it's going to be 25 degrees. Wind out of the north at about 10 miles per hour. Fairly cloud covered, but that wind is going to make it feel like 16 degrees. So make sure that you're marching with a few layers. You know, get some warm hats. Get some gloves. Maybe buy some hand warmers at the CVS before you head in there. We want to make sure that you are safe and warm as you march for life. As warm as you can be with a wind chill of negative 16. We're back right after this with headlines. I didn't say negative 16, just regular 16. It's 16 minutes past. Support for the Sunrise Morning Show is from Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels provides experienced, compassionate care to millions of aging adults nationwide by keeping them safe and healthy in the comfort of their own home. Whether it's a short break for caregivers or for long-term assistance, Visiting Angels provides hygiene, meals, light housework, companionship, and more. And services are available up to 24 hours per day. Visiting Angels, online at visitingangels.com. That's visitingangels.com. Franchise opportunities available.
Central Fabricators is proud to support the Sunrise Morning Show and encourages other Catholic business owners to do the same. Central Fabricators knows that the Sunrise Morning Show is where you'll get the news from the Catholic perspective while keeping you up to date on what's happening in the Vatican as well. It's also a great way to keep in touch with the Catholic faith throughout the week. Central Fabricators, based in Cincinnati, Ohio, has been in business for more than 70 years. On the web at centralfabricators.com. That's centralfabricators.com.
Have you considered energizing your business marketing plan? The Sunrise Morning Show is heard across the U.S. on more than 360 Catholic radio stations, reaching millions of engaged listeners in the heart of the morning commute. You can speak directly to a loyal group of like-minded people who prefer to use businesses who share their faith and values. Find out more about underwriting the Sunrise Morning Show by emailing me, Leah, at sacredheartradio.com. That's Leah at sacredheartradio.com.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
Others that I would say definitely made an impact now is EWTN, and I go and walk at the park every day at lunch listening to you guys and being able to learn a lot more about the faith, learn a lot of other perspectives that I may have not have thought about. So I just want to thank y'all for being a big influence.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
18 minutes past the hour. Here's Anna with headlines.
Participants will need to bundle up, but organizers are still expecting a huge and enthusiastic crowd of pro-lifers at today's March for Life. The Supreme Court is rejecting another bid to block the Texas heartbeat law, and the Senate has confirmed a new U.S. ambassador to the Holy See.
News at the top and bottom of each hour, every weekday morning here on the Sunrise Morning Show. And Anna Mitchell, we're going to be focusing quite a bit on the D.C. March for Life over the course of the rest of this hour and into the next one. Great coverage of the March for Life. EWTN is going to have some coverage of their own carrying you throughout the day. But I do want to give a shout out to all those people who did not get on buses and in cars and make it down to D.C., but who will be demonstrating their testimony for the sanctity of life locally. Many masses, mm-hmm. many holy hours being held in dioceses around the country as people gather in their hometowns to pray and be a witness for life in their own communities. So a shout out to all of you doing that today. I know there are thousands upon thousands of you, many of you who are involved in the organization of such events.
And not to mention tomorrow, the West Coast Walk for Life. which is, you know, weather-wise, a lot more comfortable.
A little bit warmer in San Francisco than it is in D.C.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry I accidentally said it was going to be negative 16 degrees at noon. It's going to be regular 16, which is still
really
a little chilly.
Cold.
Still a little chilly.
Really cold. But you know what? What always just amazes me and really gives such hope is the willingness of the pro-life community to go out in spite of weather conditions like that and stand up for the unborn. As you know, it's like a penance that we take on every year, that we offer up for these babies and these mothers.
Yeah, offer it up for women who feel like they don't have a choice in this matter, that they will realize that they do. Offer it up for all the people who are doing hard work, having hard conversations in pro-life pregnancy resource centers to help counsel these women in these situations. Offer it up for families who get poor prenatal diagnosis and don't know what they're going to do, that they will make the right choice for life. And stay warm. It's 21 past.
Did you happen to receive any gift cards in your Christmas stocking this year? If you'll be spending a gift from Amazon, please remember to click our Amazon link at sunrisemorningshow.com before you start shopping. That's because a portion of the purchase price comes back to the show as commission, whether you use a gift card or a credit card. But you've got to click that Amazon link first. Consider it a bonus gift to the Sunrise Morning Show. Again, when you go shopping, click the Amazon link prominently placed for your clicking convenience at the top of sunrisemorningshow.com.
You listen to the Sunrise Morning Show? Well, imagine promoting your business right here to other listeners of the Sunrise Morning Show. You'll reach like-minded folk across the nation on over 300 radio stations, each of those stations with thousands and thousands of listeners, not to mention all the people who listen on Sirius Satellite and our online app. Find out more about national underwriting of the Sunrise Morning Show by emailing me, Leah, at sacredheartradio.com. L-E-A-H at sacredheartradio.com.
Cold mornings get a little better when you've got a good cup of hot coffee or tea to help warm you up and perk you up. And look no further than Mystic Monk Coffee for some delicious flavors made by real monks.
And when you click the Mystic Monk link at sunrisemorningshow.com, you support both the monks and the show, because we get a commission every time you click that link and buy their products.
You can also purchase Sunrise Morning Show mugs and travel mugs, both $10 in our online store.
You can purchase those mugs and link to Mystic Monk Coffee at sunrisemorningshow.com.
Admirable St. Rose, thou wert truly a sweet flower blooming on a rugged soil, bearing with meekness and patience the stings of envious tongues. Obtain for me the grace to bear afflictions with patience and to be faithful to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit, so that I may be ever pleasing and acceptable in the sight of my dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For Sacred Heart Radio, this is Father Mark Watkins, pastor of St. Lawrence.
Back with us now on the Sunrise Morning Show is Father Hezekias Carnazzo from the Institute of Catholic Culture, taking a break from our conversations on the March for Life to get our hearts prepared to go to Mass this weekend. Father, good morning.
Good morning, Annie. And I don't know that we're taking much of a break from the March for Life with these readings that we've got here for the third Sunday in Ordinary Time.
Yeah, I mean, they are absolutely beautiful readings that we have. And perhaps you can make some connections there for us. But I want to ask you first, because the first reading is from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. And the main character here is Ezra. Who are these people?
These are guys that return as leaders of the Jews at the end of the Babylonian exile. This is a very important moment in salvation history. Here we have Ezra, who stands up in the midst of the people and proclaims the law of God. And the people begin to weep and cry. And he says, wait a minute, you should be rejoicing today in the gift of the law and not weeping for your past sins. But in fact, that is really the story of what's going on, is a recalling here in the book of Nehemiah of what had happened. When we hear the book of the law is proclaimed, we're not just talking the book of Leviticus. Mm-hmm. We're talking the whole of the revelation of God to his people, including the prophets, really. So when we hear that they proclaim the law, he told a story of what God had done for his people, and sadly how the people had reacted to the gift of God in their life and a law which was given to them. And ultimately their reaction has to do everything with what Jesus does in the New Testament, because as we find out from Jeremiah chapter 34, they enslaved the people, they refused to follow the law of God, and that is to grant freedom. Remember, the Lord is a Lord of freedom, and which is why he intervenes in the life of Israel to bring them out of Egypt, to restore them in his image and after his likeness. And so it is important the people of God are also people of freedom that grants freedom to others. They're a light to the nations. But as we find out in Jeremiah 34, just before the Babylonian exile, they refused to do so, enslaving their brothers, just like the sons of Israel had done before the exile in Egypt.
And so Jesus is fulfilling what they did not fulfill. I mean, we see Ezra opening up a scroll to read in the first reading, and in the gospel, which is primarily taken from Luke chapter 4, Jesus unrolls a scroll and reads to the people as well.
Yeah, listen to what he says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. This is the proclamation of what we call in the Old Testament the Jubilee Year. The Jubilee Year was the very thing that they refused to honor in the Old Testament, in which all of those who had become indebted, enslaved, would have been given a chance of restoration and freedom. And yet, in Jeremiah 34, we realize that they refused to follow this law of God. The people at the time of Nehemiah and Ezra weep over what has taken place, but it's not until some 500 years later that Jesus comes and restores the kingdom of God and proclaims what only the king can proclaim, and that is the great Jubilee Year. Jesus is healing people to reveal that he is the one prophesied by Isaiah in chapter 61 of Isaiah, that he is the king who is to come, proclaiming the Jubilee Year and freedom, but this time, not only physical freedom from physical slavery, more important, freedom to worship God, spiritual freedom to be restored to the family of God.
Well, and I'm hoping that you can then connect this all for us to the second reading that we'll be hearing at Mass on Sunday from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that famous reading from St. Paul talking about how we are one body with many parts.
I certainly can, Annie. Mm-hmm. Why is this text in 1 Corinthians 12 given us this Sunday? Because this is the spiritual restoration to God's original plan, that we, having been baptized into Christ, would be made one, having received the same Spirit. You and I, baptized into Christ, we are made one in the body of Christ that is the church. Each one of us given a ministry within that body. And here St. Paul says, you want to understand what the church is, what the restoration of God's original plan is, what the kingdom of God looks like. Look at how he designed our body, because he designed it as revelation. He designed it so you could understand the spiritual unity which the church has and the ministry which you have within that spiritual unity. And I just focus on one verse which is so important. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you, nor again the head to the feet, I do not need you. Indeed, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are all the more necessary. So, Annie, for all the listeners out there, my brothers and sisters, you have an essential ministry within the body of Christ, and this is his original plan for you. You have a ministry within that body, and unless you fulfill that ministry, the body of Christ will suffer. But if you do fulfill that ministry, you will bring salvation to others. What a gift it is to be a Christian.
And Father, just to connect it to today's March for Life, I mean, just honing in on that point a little bit, you think about the weakest among us and how much weaker is the body of Christ without all of those children who have been lost to abortion.
How sad it is, Annie. And can you not see the fingerprint of the devil? St. Paul teaches, the Word of God says that the weakest among us are essential, and yet we're murdering them because the world says they're not needed? That is the fingerprint of the evil one, and we must fight against it for the restoration of the value of mankind made in the image and likeness of God.
All those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we surround with greater honor, something we are definitely doing today as so many pro-lifers head out to March for Life in Washington, D.C. and all around the country. We've been talking to Father Hezekias Carnazzo. And Father, if listeners want to dive more deeply into these readings and check out your resources, how do they find you?
instituteofcatholicculture.org, instituteofcatholicculture.org. We've got talks on the Jubilee year, talks on the Old Testament, and so on. Come check us out. It's all free of charge.
Not to mention pro-life talks as well. instituteofcatholicculture.org is linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. Thank you, Father. Half past the hour now on the Sunrise Morning Show. It's time for news. Participants will need to bundle up, but organizers are still expecting a huge and enthusiastic crowd of pro-lifers at today's March for Life. The list of speakers for the rally on the National Mall includes Father Mike Schmidt, actor Kirk Cameron, Duck Dynasty star Lisa Robertson, and two members of Congress. The theme for this year's march is Equality Begins in the Womb. March for Life President Jeannie Mancini will join us at the end of this hour to reflect on that. The closing mass for the nationwide prayer vigil for life at the National Shrine will begin at 8 a.m. Eastern Time with Boston's Cardinal Sean O'Malley as the principal celebrant. Last night, Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore celebrated the opening mass. Alatea reports that while that mass was taking place, the organization that calls itself Catholics for Choice was using a projector to light up pro-abortion messages on the outside of the shrine, which received quick condemnation from Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione and others on social media. Inside the mass, Archbishop Laurie said in his homily, quote, "Abortion is a tragic choice with lasting consequences. What is needed in such a situation is a witness to love and to life." He said, "The church does not give up on men and women who have chosen abortion. The church seeks to bring light, healing, and hope, thus witnessing to the beauty of life, one woman and one child at a time," end quote. The Supreme Court has rejected another bid by abortion clinics to block the Texas heartbeat law. Brian Shook reports.
The ruling was 6-3 along ideological lines. It's another setback for abortion providers who are trying to revive challenges to the law about 5 months after it went into effect. A federal appeals court had previously sent the case to the state's highest court, meaning the law will stay in place for the foreseeable future. I'm Brian Shook.
A new U.S. ambassador to the Holy See is being confirmed. Former Senator for Indiana Joe Donnelly was confirmed in a voice vote by the U.S. Senate yesterday. Father John Jenkins, the president of the University of Notre Dame, said Donnelly is a, quote, "person of deep Catholic faith and commitment to public service." Donnelly was appointed to be the 12th U.S. ambassador to the Holy See by President Biden last October. This weekend, Pope Francis will celebrate a special mass for Word of God Sunday. From Vatican Radio, Linda Bordoni reports.
The Sunday of the Word of God is observed annually on the third Sunday of Ordinary Time after Christmas. Ever since Pope Francis established this celebration on the 30th of September 2019 to remind Catholics of the importance of knowing Scripture. As highlighted by the Pontifical Council for Promoting the New Evangelization, during the upcoming ceremony, there will be some very significant moments. For the first time during the liturgy, the ministry of lector will be conferred on both lay men and women in a stable and institutionalized form through a special mandate. Previously, ministries were reserved only to men, because they were considered preparatory to receiving holy orders. But a statement from the council explains that the well-established practice has confirmed that lay ministries, founded on the sacrament of baptism, can be entrusted to all the faithful who are suitable, whether male or female. Also during the celebration, the Pope will confer the newly established ministry of catechist on several members of the lay faithful, both women and men. Before the homily, they will be called by name and presented to the church. After the homily, the lectors are given the Bible, the Word of God that they are called to proclaim. Catechists, on the other hand, are entrusted with a cross to recall the missionary character of the service they are about to administer. I'm Linda Bordoni.
A new German report on sexual abuse is criticizing Pope Emeritus Benedict for his time as the Archbishop of Munich. The report claims he mishandled 4 cases. The Catholic News Agency reports that the former Holy Father has strongly denied allegations of any cover-up and submitted 82 pages of observations to investigators in his defense. His private secretary, Archbishop Georg Ganswein, said yesterday that the former Holy Father is praying for victims after the release of this report. And the Holy See announced that because of ongoing COVID concerns, the Pope is canceling this year's Lenten Spiritual Exercises retreat with the Roman Curia. Statement from the press office says he's asked the Curia to make their own arrangements to withdraw in prayer that week. That's the news. It's 35 past the hour. Did you happen to receive any gift cards in your Christmas stocking this year? If you'll be spending a gift from Amazon, please remember to click our Amazon link at sunrisemorningshow.com before you start shopping. That's because a portion of the purchase price comes back to the show as commission, whether you use a gift card or a credit card. But you've got to click that Amazon link first. Consider it a bonus gift to the Sunrise Morning Show. Again, when you go shopping, click the Amazon link prominently placed for your clicking convenience at the top of sunrisemorningshow.com.
You listen to the Sunrise Morning Show? Well, imagine promoting your business right here to other listeners of the Sunrise Morning Show. You'll reach like-minded folk across the nation on over 300 radio stations, each of those stations with thousands and thousands of listeners, not to mention all the people who listen on Sirius Satellite and our online app. Find out more about national underwriting of the Sunrise Morning Show by emailing me, Leah, at sacredheartradio.com. L-E-A-H at sacredheartradio.com.
I am Dominican Father Paul Keller. Please pray with me the prayer to St. Anthony. Blessed be God in his angels and in his saints. O holy St. Anthony, gentlest of saints, your love for God and charity for his creatures made you worthy, when on earth, to possess miraculous powers. Miracles waited on your word, which you were ever ready to speak for those in trouble or anxiety. Encouraged by this thought, I implore of you to obtain for me this request. The answer to my prayer may require a miracle. Even so, you are the saint of miracles. O gentle and loving Saint Anthony, whose heart was ever full of human sympathy, whisper my petition into the ears of the sweet infant Jesus, who loved to be folded in your arms, and the gratitude of my heart will ever be yours. Amen.
It's 37 minutes past the hour. Thanks for listening to the March for Life pregame show here on the Sunrise Morning Show on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We are happy to have you along with us this morning, especially if you are tuning in from the nation's capital, getting ready to head to the National Mall or perhaps the National Shrine for the closing mass in just a couple of hours. But if you are at home today, of course, keep it tuned to EWTN all day long for wall-to-wall coverage of the March for Life. You don't get coverage like this anywhere else. Sunrise Morning Show legal and political analyst Ken Craycraft is with us now. He's a professor at Mount St. Mary's Seminary. He writes for the Catholic Telegraph and the UK Catholic Herald, and he's online with his legal practice at craycraftlaw.com. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Annie. Nice to be with you today.
It is nice to have you. And of course, thousands upon thousands of people gathering in Washington today for the March for Life. Do you think this could be the final march that has to protest Roe v. Wade?
Yeah, it's become an annual ritual in the U.S., hasn't it, for the past 48 years. Mm-hmm. And there's a very good chance that this could be the last one if we think about it as a protest of Roe v. Wade, which, of course, is what it originated as. We call it the March for Life in defense of life in general. But the chief motivator of the first marches were, of course, the 1973 Supreme Court decision of Roe versus Wade, which struck down states' laws restricting regulate or restrict abortion. So
I mean, let's be honest, Ken, if it weren't for the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, there would be no way that
right. The
pro-lifers would go to Washington, D.C. in January.
No, there wouldn't be this trek to Washington, D.C., especially when it's as cold as it is today. Mm-hmm. So, yes, this is the motivator. And yes, it very well could be the last one. We've talked about Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health several times now. And there's some optimism for good reason that Roe will be vacated or so severely curtailed that it will not have the teeth that it does. And so the purpose of this march will have gone away. And it doesn't mean that the fight has gone away, but it does mean that at least in terms of Washington, D.C., and more specifically, the Supreme Court being the center of focus on the problem of abortion in the U.S., then it may very well have gone away. And therefore, yes, this could very well be the last march of this size in any event with a national implication.
Right, with a national implication. It's kind of the first hurdle, if you will, major hurdle that the pro-life community would need to overcome in order to fight for the legal protection of the unborn. Of course, if Dobbs does overturn Roe, the fight starts happening primarily on the state level. So how do you see this as an opportunity for us as the pro-life community to reassess our arguments for the unborn?
Yeah, Annie, I really think that this is an opportunity for us to rethink the way the language that we use in defending unborn life. It comes down to, in the typical debate about abortion, the pro-abortion side or the anti-abortion side, it really comes down to a battle of rights. That is to say that the woman claims the right to bodily autonomy, who wants to have an abortion. We on the other side often talk about the unborn child having a right to life. My problem with using rights language to frame the debate is that it tends already to give away the argument to the other side. And the reason is this, Annie. While even the church uses rights language throughout its documents, the way the church uses it is always framed in the basic dignity of the human person. But that's not how the secular world uses the term rights. The secular world uses the term rights to mean an individual, highly individualist, isolated person who has claims against everyone else in defense of his or her bodily integrity. Now, that's a back of the envelope definition, but it's a useful one and it's an accurate one. When we use rights language to debate or engage in the abortion argument, we're essentially endorsing that definition of basic moral anthropology. In other words, the moral starting point is that I am an isolated, atomistic, rights-bearing individual, which means that I have claims against everyone to protect my individual bodily integrity, and so do you. The problem is when we use that language, we have already given up the rich tradition of Catholic moral theology that allows us to talk about abortion in a very different way. And what I mean by that is that we don't begin with the individual when we think about moral theology in the Catholic tradition. We think about the solidarity of the human person, by which we understand that all of our moral decisions are made in the context of the communities in which we live and the broader human community, and that they always have impact on the broader community, whether it be to introduce virtue or sin into the camp, as you might say, or whether they have practical results resulting in other people being either inconvenienced or hurt by our choices, our decisions. In other words, we don't isolate our moral acts to the individual. We understand them to have broad social impact because of the doctrine of solidarity. And if we start that way, we don't start talking about individual rights. Rather, we start talking about the obligations that we have to the broader community as people who are commanded to love. To love our neighbor as ourselves is not consistent with claiming rights against our neighbor to protect our own bodily integrity or bodily autonomy. Rather, we understand that our primary obligation is to love the other as we love ourselves. And we can't do that while we're also saying that we have claims against everyone else. Mm-hmm. So when we use this radical individualist rights language, we tend to undercut the very foundation of our moral arguments in defense of the human person, whether that person is born or unborn. A better way of approaching it, Annie, is to think about justice. We define justice as giving to another human being what he or she is due. And we certainly say that it's always unjust to form the intention to take a human life or to take a human life under any circumstance. And that means that this is a human life. Biology says that unequivocally. We don't even have to talk about personhood because that gets us into a moral thicket that we don't need to worry about at this point. All we have to say is that here's a separate human life. Simple principles of justice say that we don't take the life of an innocent human life or form the intention to take an innocent human life because that's an act of injustice. if we switch the language, if we're able to switch the debate to simple aspects of justice, then we force the other side to say why that principle of justice should be suspended in the case of an unborn child. The way it works right now is we're on the back foot by saying, why should the right of bodily autonomy be suspended in this case when it applies in every other case? And Annie, let me give you a very practical way that this has impacted another area of public moral debate, and that's vaccinations. Ironically, this my body, my choice way of thinking about individual possessive rights is the same language that many Catholics have used to say that they should not have to get vaccinated. So you see what happens here is we take the same language, which has, in my mind, infected the way that we think about the moral life, and we apply it to other issues. And those arguments are just as defective as the pro-abortion side when it says that it has a right to bodily integrity, which includes killing its child. Mm-hmm. In other words, we have it's a perfect example of the way that we have allowed a moral language from the broader secular public to infect the way that we make arguments, even when we think we're making a good argument. And the acid test is when it comes up to another issue in which the argument actually undercuts a more basic Catholic moral anthropology.
Yeah, we shouldn't
have a richer language and we need to invoke it.
Yeah, we don't need to let them frame the argument. I mean, when you think about it, if we're talking about individual rights, we are pitting a mother against a child. And I mean, just from a natural, moral, philosophical standpoint, that is a battle that undercuts our humanity.
That's exactly right. That's exactly the way to put it. It's a claim of the mother against the child and the child against the mother. So the language that we use already pits them against one another. It already makes the child an enemy of the mother and the mother an enemy of the child. And that's just not a helpful way of thinking about the community that is formed by the mother and the child and the broader family.
Well, it's certainly not
exactly
a Catholic
right
way to do
that,
it either.
That distills it. It certainly is not. So we need to think more deeply about the way that we use moral language in all of our lives, because if we borrow language that already assumes a moral anthropology that is contrary to Catholic teaching, we find ourselves on the back foot, as I said earlier, and that gives us an inability to make a strong, articulate reason that, for example, people should not unjustly take the lives of innocent, unborn human beings.
It makes me so happy that we can even discuss this, though, that we're so there. We're right on the cusp of being able to take hold of this argument and really move forward as a pro-life community. Go read more of Ken's thoughts over at the UK Catholic Herald, and you can find him linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. Ken, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Annie. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you. All right, it's 13 till. Jeannie Mancini, March for Life president, joins us next.
Support for the Sunrise Morning Show is from Solidarity HealthShare, a healthcare sharing ministry that follows the moral guidelines of the Catholic Church, so you never have to pay for anything that violates your conscience. Plus, Solidarity HealthShare can help lower your medical bills and provide you with a team of professionals to navigate the healthcare system. Solidarity HealthShare, the Catholic solution to healthcare. 844-313-4999. Or online at solidarityhealthshare.org.
Are you looking for peace? Longing for joy? Want to meet the giver of all goodness? God is calling the laity to bring Ignatian prayer into the suffering world. Work for the new evangelization. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com. Order your free digital training and manual. Find true happiness and everlasting joy. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com
and click on the red button today.
It's free. Approved by the USCCB.
Have you considered energizing your business marketing plan? The Sunrise Morning Show is heard across the U.S. on more than 360 Catholic radio stations, reaching millions of engaged listeners in the heart of the morning commute. You can speak directly to a loyal group of like-minded people who prefer to use businesses who share their faith and values. Find out more about underwriting the Sunrise Morning Show by emailing me, Leah, at sacredheartradio.com. That's Leah at sacredheartradio.com.
EWTN is now on Twitter. Get short, timely messages from EWTN on your computer or cell phone. It's easy to stay up to date on a wide variety of topics. Pro-life news, Vatican announcements, catechesis, apologetics, the latest EWTN programming, and more. You can link to EWTN on Twitter from our homepage or go to twitter.com/EWTN. At work, at home, at school, and on the road. Stay connected to your world with EWTN's Twitter page.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett, host of Catholic Answers Live. Are you kidding me? Rose Sweet and Dr. Ray Guarendi. That's a good Friday show. Catholic Answers Live, 6 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Now, back to the Sunrise Morning Show.
It's 11 till. You're listening to the March for Life pregame show here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, and honored to be joined on the Sunrise Morning Show now by March for Life President Jeannie Mancini. Jeannie, good morning.
Good morning.
How much coffee have you had?
Oh, 1.5 cups.
Well, that's not too bad. Not too bad. I want to get the most important question out of the way first.
Okay.
What color code are you wearing today for the rally?
I'm boring. You know, I always wear the same one. It's black.
No, I'm happy to hear that. You're going to look very glamorous. I know it.
So. Well, I don't know about that, but
Well, thank you. We'll be excited to see you. Well, we'll be excited to see you out there on the National Mall. I mean, I know the March for Life is not a protest event as such. It is so much more than that. But Jeannie, if things go our way at the Supreme Court this year, this March for Life could be the last March for Life that has to have protesting Roe v. Wade as part of it. I mean, this time next year, it could very well be overturned. So how are you feeling this morning?
Just delighted. I mean, the enthusiasm in the pro-life movement is unlike anything I've seen ever in my lifetime. And so with the prospect of, please God, the possibility of overturning Roe, we're just hoping and praying that happens. Of course, if that does happen, it's not that the work is done. It's just that it's a new era at that point, because, of course, that wouldn't make abortion illegal. It would simply return it to the legislative branches in the states. So, you know, we're all going to be hoping, praying, fasting as we await the decision in June. We know that the Supreme Court has already voted. You know, they did their vote the Friday after the oral arguments. But anyone can change their mind, and nobody knows what that vote is until June. And we expect June or shortly before June to hear from them. And we'll continue to build a culture of life in a new era if, please God, that does happen.
Absolutely. So could you reflect on the theme for the March for Life this year? Equality begins in the womb. Why did you choose that?
You know, we've had so many conversations about equality over the last few years. You know, whether it's around the COVID pandemic, injustices, all sorts of things. And so we wanted to highlight particularly the equality of the unborn child as well, and to insert that into the conversation. So these are very important and necessary conversations to be had. We just want to make sure that all populations are represented.
So give us a rundown for the day. What will be happening?
So we begin with a show on the mall at 11 a.m., and then the rally itself begins right at noon. We've got a fabulous lineup. Some of the headliners are Father Mike Schmitz, host of Bible in a Year podcast, Lisa Robertson from Duck Dynasty, Kirk Cameron, actor and producer, you might remember him from Growing Pains.
Oh, yes.
And the ones I'm most excited to hear from, we've got a few testimonies. Katie Shaw, a Down syndrome advocate. She herself has Down syndrome. Tony McFadden, just a fabulous young speaker, mother, and she's going to share her testimony of finding hope and healing after abortion. Kristen Wagner, the general counsel from Alliance Defending Freedom. Dan Lipinski, former pro-life representative, Democratic representative from Illinois. And on the Republican side, we've got Julia Letlow from Louisiana, and Chris Smith, of course, from New Jersey. So we've got just a stellar lineup. Sissy Graham Lynch, the granddaughter of Billy Graham, will also be speaking. So just really excited to hear from our folks before we begin the most important part of the day, which, of course, is the march.
Absolutely. Now, I want to put you on the spot for a moment, Jeannie, on behalf of all of the pro-lifers who will be frigid today in Washington, D.C., all of the pro-lifers who have battled snow and cold for nearly 50 years. And admittedly, I'm not the first person to bring up this idea, but since I have you on national airwaves right now, if Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health overturns Roe v. Wade, will you at least consider moving the March for Life to June in Thanksgiving for that ruling?
It's a great question. And I'll tell you what, let's all pray and fast that the first thing happens, that
sure.
Roe is overturned and that the question of abortion legislation is returned to the state. And then at that time, we will be making announcements about the March for Life.
I was going to say, you must be thinking about this. Like, what is the next step for the March for Life if this happens? So what has been going through your mind?
Well, you know, for a good 6 years, we've been doing our state march program. So we officially kicked that off in 2019 and have grown that a little bit. It's been stalled a bit in the COVID environment. But even this year, we had a state march, a third annual state march in Virginia. We began one in California, had one in Pennsylvania, and had beautiful fruits from all of them. For example, just one small example, in California, we had everyone text in about a bad bill related to abortion coverage and health insurance. Mm-hmm. And the very next day after the California March for Life, the bill was pulled from the House floor.
Wow.
So we plan on being in all 50 states in the course of 7 years. And that was long before Dobbs, you know, long before a change in the Supreme Court, et cetera. So the importance of rallying the grassroots at the level of the state cannot be understated. I mean, things happen, like the example I just gave. But whatever happens with Roe, things are going to continue to happen at the national level. You know, we know that there will be pro-abortion legislation introduced right away. There will be other Supreme Court cases. So, listen, this is not one and done. This is, this is something we need to keep fighting for.
Absolutely. And so with that in mind, Jeannie, how can people support the March for Life?
First, pray and fast. I think that's the single most important thing. And then we can absolutely use the support as we're particularly trying to grow our state march program. So check us out at marchforlife.org. And, prayer, fasting, almsgiving, right? And help with the almsgiving. The March for Life can certainly use it. But today, be sure to tell your story on social media. Use the hashtag #WhyWeMarch. But the personal stories are what changed
so
people's
important.
Hearts and minds more than anything else.
Yeah. Jeannie Mancini, thank you so much. We'll be praying for you and really appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks so much. God bless.
You too. Thank you. All right. Full hour coming up next.
Arise, it's a new day. Hear his word.
It is Friday, the 21st day of the month of January, the Feast of St. Agnes, and let's pray for her intercession for all who are marching for life today. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord God, deliver us from every infidelity, from all temptation, from compromise with expediency, and from any lessening of our baptismal commitment to Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, St. Agnes loved you more than she loved approval, safety, or life itself. Through her intercession, protect the young from every form of seduction and keep all your people faithful to your love for us, you who live and reign with God the Father and the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. And a Hail Mary for the success of the Marches for Life in D.C., in San Francisco tomorrow, and across the country today. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. It is the March for Life pregame edition of the Sunrise Morning Show here on EWTN. I'm Matt Swaim, animator. Paul Lockman at the controls. We'll talk to Heather Berner this hour from the National Safe Haven Alliance. Brendan Hodge will talk about abortion and economics. He'll join us from the Pillar this morning. Looking forward to chatting with Lauren Mazika as well, Father Jonathan Duncan with a look at the Mass readings for today. We got a lot going on. Please do stay with us if you can. Right now it is 2 minutes past. News of service of Central Fabricators and centralfabricators.com. Here's Anna Mitchell.
Good morning. Tens of thousands of pro-lifers are expected to be in Washington, D.C. today for the March for Life. The theme for this year's National March is Equality Begins in the Womb. And the list of speakers for the rally on the National Mall includes Father Mike Schmitz, actor Kirk Cameron, Duck Dynasty star Lisa Robertson, and two members of Congress. The closing mass for the nationwide prayer vigil for life, meanwhile, at the National Shrine will begin at 8 a.m. Eastern Time with Boston's Cardinal Sean O'Malley as the principal celebrant. It will be broadcast live on EWTN immediately following the Sunrise Morning Show. The Supreme Court is rejecting another bid to block the Texas heartbeat law. Brian Shook reports.
The ruling was 6-3 along ideological lines. It's another setback for abortion providers who are trying to revive challenges to the law about 5 months after it went into effect. A federal appeals court had previously sent the case to the state's highest court, meaning the law will stay in place for the foreseeable future. I'm Brian Shook.
Former Indiana Senator Joe Donnelly has been confirmed as the next U.S. ambassador to the Holy See, a position that has been vacant since Joe Biden took office more than a year ago. Donnelly was appointed to be the 12th U.S. ambassador to the Holy See by President Biden last October. He was confirmed by a voice vote yesterday. Pope Francis spoke yesterday to members of Italy's National Association of Building Contractors, highlighting Christian values that can help businesses in their work and in relations with workers. From Vatican Radio, Francesca Merlo reports.
Pope Francis described it as a Christian interpretation of the values that inspire their organization, and these are competition and transparency, responsibility and sustainability, and ethics, legality and security. Beginning with competition and transparency, the Pope noted that competition alone is not enough. Competition, he said, must be an incentive to do one's work well and to improve rather than being a desire for domination and exclusion. This is why transparency in decision-making processes and economic choices is essential, continued the Pope. It makes it possible to avoid unfair competition, which in the economic and labor spheres often means job losses, support for undeclared work or underpaid work, he explained. The Pope then went on to speak of responsibility and sustainability. He explained that sustainability involves a regenerative capacity of every ecosystem. In the building sector, it is essential to use materials that offer people safety, yet at the same time, he said, we must avoid exploiting the environment by cooperating in making certain particularly exploited territories unviable. Finally, Pope Francis turned to ethics, legality, and safety. He noted that last year, too many people died at work. They are not numbers, stressed the Pope, but real people. If we look at safety in the workplace as a cost, we are starting from the wrong assumption, stressed the Pope. He explained that people are the real wealth, and that without them there is no working community, no business, and no economy. Working safely allows everyone to express the best of themselves while earning their daily bread, concluded the Pope, adding that the more we take care of the dignity of work, the more certain we are that the quality and beauty of the work carried out will increase. Pope Francis concluded with a prayer to St. Joseph, patron saint of workers, asking that he might support them in their efforts, before asking that they pray for him, too. I'm Francesca Merlo.
A new German report on sexual abuse is criticizing Pope Emeritus Benedict for his time serving as the Archbishop of Munich. The report claims that then-Cardinal Ratzinger mishandled 4 cases. The Catholic News Agency reports the former Holy Father has strongly denied allegations of cover-up and submitted 82 pages of observations to investigators in his defense. The Biden administration is saying the consequences for Russia will be significant if they invade Ukraine. More from Mark Mayfield.
So said White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki. Her comment was a reference to sweeping economic sanctions against Russia. Psaki insisted the U.S. and European allies are united, despite reports to the contrary. Russian President Vladimir Putin has demanded assurances that Ukraine will not become part of NATO, something that's not in the cards. I'm Mark Mayfield.
3 southern states are under an emergency at this hour as another blast of winter weather moves in. Drivers in Virginia and the Carolinas are being told to stay off the roads due to dangerous ice. The storm will also unleash snow, sleet, and freezing rain. Several schools have already canceled classes. Snow is expected to fall through tomorrow, and ice storms are forecast for parts of North and South Carolina, including Myrtle Beach and Wilmington. And baseball fans are hoping good news is just around the corner in the MLB lockout. Owners and players are set to meet again on Monday as they remain stalled over a new collective bargaining agreement. The MLB Players Association will reportedly present a counterproposal to last week's offer. A deal likely would need to be in place by February 1st to avoid a delay in spring training, and then by March 1st to start the regular season on time.
All right, let's get baseball rolling.
We're cutting it close here, guys.
Too close for comfort.
A little too close for comfort. Absolutely.
I will direct my prayers towards a successful start to the baseball season. Another day.
Another day. Yeah, of course. There are much more important things.
There are much more important things to focus on today.
But, you know, I mean, whenever there's an update on the lockout, I've got a report.
It is good to know.
I mean,
it is good to know. Meanwhile, we have other legal things that we may have significantly more movement on. And that's why we're marching today.
Absolutely.
Should be a very interesting year in the Supreme Court. And either way, we know that even though we don't know the answer to the question of how that's going to go yet, we do know where we stand on the question of the sanctity of life. So we're praying for all of you descending upon Washington, D.C. this morning to March for Life, all of you gathering in your local communities to March for Life locally, and all of you who are getting ready to March for Life in San Francisco at the West Coast Walk for Life tomorrow. We are praying for you today. We are praying with you today.
Most definitely. Today is Friday, January the 21st, the feast of St. Agnes of Rome. It was her martyrdom that really soured the Romans on Christian persecution under Emperor Diocletian and essentially led to the end of that culture of death. So St. Agnes, pray for us. It's 8 past. Happy to welcome to the Sunrise Morning Show Heather Berner. She's Executive Director of the National Safe Haven Alliance. Heather, good morning.
Good morning.
So first off, can you tell us what is a safe haven law and how many states have them?
Yes, of course. So the safe haven law allows a parent to safely and anonymously surrender their infant at a safe haven location within a designated time frame. So, like for Arizona, we would say that a baby can be surrendered to a fire station, a hospital, an adoption agency, a church within 30 days of being born. So up to the 30-day age limit. All 50 states have this law, and I think it's always important to know this, that hospitals are an approved location in every state. So we know that some states don't have fire stations included or police stations or churches, but we know that hospitals are an approved location in every state in the country.
And so how does it work if a young mother or a young couple decides that this is necessary? How do they find or how do they drop off an infant of theirs?
So it's, you know, the process is very easy. Sometimes we make it more complicated in our minds. But what happens is a parent can show up to one of these locations, one of the approved locations in their state, and then they just need to say, I have a safe haven baby, or I'm choosing to surrender using safe haven. Sometimes they don't use the correct verbiage, and the provider should know what's going on. But what they would do is then they would hand them their baby. And when they do that, we sometimes encourage the safe haven providers to ask if they want to give any information, like about the birth or when the baby was born or any type of medical history. They don't have to give that information. They can choose not to give any information and just hand the baby over. And so from our standpoint with the National Safe Haven Alliance, one of very important pieces is the hotline. We have this national hotline, and we help parents all across the country, and we also help coordinate care with the safe haven providers. And what we have found is when parents are using the hotline, we are able to offer them different options, all the safe options that they would need in a time of crisis like this. That might be parenting, but they need support, and we can connect them to resources in their community that would actually help them choose to parent their baby. We also talk about adoption and what that might look like before we go to that option of safe haven so that they understand there are safe options out there in this really critical time, and we can help navigate that for them.
And that 24/7 crisis hotline is 1-888-510-BABY or 2229. 1-888-510-BABY. And we're talking to Heather Berner with the National Safe Haven Alliance. You know, people might think that this is a pretty rare occurrence that somebody would take advantage of a safe haven law like this. And I'm wondering if you can speak to that, but also to the fact that there was a story that just came out of New Mexico recently of a young girl who would have benefited from knowing about a safe haven drop-off. Can you tell us about this?
Yeah, absolutely. So since the law went into effect in 1999, we've had almost 4,500 babies saved by the safe haven law. Wow. So from year to year, it typically, you know, an average number would be about 100 babies across the country that are saved using this law. Now, that doesn't include always these numbers that, like we spoke about the calls we get where we do offer housing and shelter for a parent that then chooses to parent their baby. Or does that number reflect the adoptions that the parent then chose to place the child for an adoption rather than safe haven? So the numbers are probably double or triple what I just gave you. But we do know that the safe haven law isn't as commonly known as we wish it would be. And, you know, 20 years later, we still have states that aren't doing a lot of education about this life-saving law. So that's a really important piece, is for the states to be actively supporting and encouraging folks to promote the safe haven law. This case that just happened in New Mexico, these are the cases that break our hearts, because this mom now is going to face a whole different scenario than had she called us or had she shown up at a safe haven location and could have then surrendered the baby there. We're so thankful that the baby was found and is alive and doing well. But we know that if we could reach these folks, these parents, before that moment, we can help them navigate a safe process.
Yeah, that mother put her newborn in a dumpster and has been since arrested and charged with attempted murder. As you say, she could have a totally different outcome in her life if she had known about safe haven laws. And so, Heather Berner, if listeners want to get more information, perhaps get, do you have pamphlets and things that they can get a hold of where they can get more information out to people who would need them?
Absolutely. So we, like I said, we work with other organizations in states across the country, and we have state reps, and we also are always encouraging people to volunteer just to let the public know what this law is. So
awesome.
If you go to our website, NationalSafeHavenAlliance.org, you can find, we have pamphlets, we have posters, we have brochures, we have everything you would need, and you can get in touch with our team, and we would gladly support anything we can.
We'll have that linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. Heather Berner, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. You guys have a good day.
You too. So much that we need to be aware of as the pro-life community, especially as we look ahead to potentially a post-Roe society and how we can help women who find themselves in a crisis with an unexpected pregnancy, to help women like that poor young girl who is now facing attempted murder charges. Well, on this March for Life, let's take a look at weather. In D.C., it will be at noon today when the rally begins on the National Mall. Mostly cloudy, no precipitation expected. 25 degrees, though, so bundle up. If you are elsewhere in the country, a cold front continues pushing toward the southeastern fringes of the U.S., bringing temperatures 10 to 20 degrees below average to much of the east today. Around an inch of rain is expected along the Gulf Coast from Texas to Florida and then up the East Coast into the Mid-Atlantic, where a transition to snow is possible. Quiet weather remains for much of the remainder of the East, with frigid temperatures still intact, and a snow system in the northern tier looks to dump rain and snow from Montana to Wisconsin and as far south as Colorado and Iowa. Headlines coming up next. You're listening to the Sunrise Morning Show on EWTN. It's 17 past.
Support for the Sunrise Morning Show is from Solidarity HealthShare, a healthcare sharing ministry that follows the moral guidelines of the Catholic Church, so you never have to pay for anything that violates your conscience. Plus, Solidarity HealthShare can help lower your medical bills and provide you with a team of professionals to navigate the healthcare system. Solidarity HealthShare, the Catholic solution to healthcare. 844-313-4999. Or online at solidarityhealthshare.org.
Central Fabricators is proud to support the Sunrise Morning Show. During these challenging times, it is comforting to have a media source like the Sunrise Morning Show to offer the Catholic perspective on news and current events, and to be able to hear from many of the most inspiring teachers of our faith. The Central Fabricator family encourages you to pray the rosary daily for an end to the coronavirus. May God bless your family, our nation, and the entire world from everyone at centralfabricators.com.
Are you looking for peace? Longing for joy? Want to meet the giver of all goodness? God is calling the laity to bring Ignatian prayer into the suffering world. Work for the new evangelization. Go to lordteachmetopray.com. Order your free digital training and manual. Find true happiness and everlasting joy. Go to lordteachmetopray.com
and click on the red button today.
It's free. Approved by the USCCB.
It's that time of year when you need hot drinks throughout the day and night, so look no further than the Mystic Monks, who sell coffee and tea, regular and decaf.
And you can support our work by earning us a commission on your purchase. Just go first to sunrisemorningshow.com and click the Mystic Monk link at the side of the page.
While you're at our site, be sure to check out our online store where you can purchase Sunrise Morning Show ceramic and travel mugs.
Again, find our online store and link to Mystic Monk Coffee through sunrisemorningshow.com.
Get an insider's look at the latest information from EWTN. Sign up for WINGS, EWTN's weekly email newsletter. Get the latest information about live events, special features, and guests. Connect with EWTN on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Just go to EWTN.com and click on the WINGS link to sign up. Don't miss a minute of all that's happening at EWTN. Get your WINGS today.
19 minutes past. Here's Anna with headlines.
Tens of thousands of pro-lifers are going to need to bundle up as they descend on Washington, D.C. for this afternoon's March for Life under the theme Equality Begins in the Womb. Former Indiana Senator Joe Donnelly has been confirmed as the next U.S. ambassador to the Holy See, and Pope Francis spoke yesterday to members of Italy's National Association of Building Contractors, highlighting Christian values in work.
Anna Mitchell, as you know, the goal is not just the overturning of unjust laws, but the conversion of hearts.
Yes.
And all day today over at the Coming Home Network, I'm sharing social media posts about conversion stories that have to do with this very issue. So a lot of post-abortive women and some fathers even who, dealing with this question, dealing with this pain, led them to the Catholic Church. But I want to steer people to one I just posted on our Facebook page from Dr. Alicia Thompson, who was an agnostic training to be an OBGYN. And when the time came for her to decide if she was going to perform abortions, it forced some questions for her about human value and the existence of God. And that led her to the Catholic Church. So you can check that out on our Facebook page. And just a reminder that conversion is possible, even on people on the complete opposite ideological side of the spectrum. So let's pray for that today as we march in D.C. and around the country for life. It's 21 past. It's that time of year when you need hot drinks throughout the day and night, so look no further than the Mystic Monks, who sell coffee and tea, regular and decaf.
And you can support our work by earning us a commission on your purchase. Just go first to sunrisemorningshow.com and click the Mystic Monk link at the side of the page.
While you're at our site, be sure to check out our online store where you can purchase Sunrise Morning Show ceramic and travel mugs.
Again, find our online store and link to Mystic Monk Coffee through sunrisemorningshow.com.
You listen to the Sunrise Morning Show? Well, imagine promoting your business right here to other listeners of the Sunrise Morning Show. You'll reach like-minded folk across the nation on over 300 radio stations, each of those stations with thousands and thousands of listeners, not to mention a all the people who listen on Sirius Satellite and our online app. Find out more about national underwriting of the Sunrise Morning Show by emailing me, Leah, at sacredheartradio.com. L-E-A-H at sacredheartradio.com.
Did you happen to receive any gift cards in your Christmas stocking this year? If you'll be spending a gift from Amazon, please remember to click our Amazon link at sunrisemorningshow.com before you start shopping. That's because a portion of the purchase price comes back to the show as commission, whether you use a gift card or a credit card. But you've got to click that Amazon link first. Consider it a bonus gift to the Sunrise Morning Show. Again, when you go shopping, click the Amazon link prominently placed for your clicking convenience at the top of sunrisemorningshow.com.
This is Archbishop Dennis Schnur. Prayer of Abandonment. Father, I abandon myself into your hands. Do with me what you will. Whatever you may do, I thank you. I am ready for all. I accept all. Let only your will be done in me. Into your hands I commend my spirit. I offer it to you with all the love of my heart. For I love you, Lord, and so need to give myself, to surrender myself into your hands, without reserve and with boundless confidence. For you are my Father. Amen.
It's 23 minutes past the hour. You're listening to the March for Life pregame show here on the Sunrise Morning Show on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Happy to have you with us. Brendan Hodges with us now on the Sunrise Morning Show. He's Darwin from the Darwin Catholic blog, author of If You Can Get It from Ignatius Press, also available on Audible, and a contributing editor to The Pillar. Good morning, Brendan.
Good morning. Great to be on with you.
It is great to have you. You know, as people are gathering in D.C. and really all around the country for the national and then, of course, local marches for life taking place today. And, you know, with the really good possibility that Roe v. Wade could be overturned, we are going to be looking at one of the arguments that is used by the other side to promote legalized abortion. And that argument is about economics, finances. I mean, basically, you pro-lifers are trying to force women in poverty to bear and support a child that they cannot afford. Now, at The Pillar, you looked at statistics about unintended pregnancies and abortion rates through the lens of, like, financial status. So can you give us those stats?
Yeah. So there are a number of stats that attempt to connect abortion to poverty, and there are real connections that exist here. So there was a 2016 study which looked at women who'd received abortion that found that 49% of women who had received abortions were below the federal poverty line. Another 26% were low income overall. And what the connection turns out to be is that simply if you look at the rate at which women become pregnant, women who are living in poverty become pregnant significantly more often than women who are more affluent, and a higher percentage of those pregnancies are unintended. However, if you ask women who become pregnant unexpectedly whether they proceeded to have an abortion, it turns out that actually women in poverty are the least likely to abort any given pregnancy. And women who are middle income and above are the ones who are most likely to abort an unintended pregnancy.
Do you have those specific stats there?
Yes. So looking at unintended pregnancies, women who are living in poverty abort 38% of unintended pregnancies. Women who are low income but not below the poverty line abort 44%, and women who are middle income or above abort 48% of unintended pregnancies.
Nearly
so 50%. More affluent women are 10% more likely to abort an unintended pregnancy.
Nearly one in two women, middle income and above, aborting an unintended pregnancy. Wow. I mean, these stats in the United States, I mean, do they line up with the global picture? Do you have that information?
So that's another really interesting thing. The UN had done a series of studies which were published in The Lancet, and they looked at countries that we would think of as being very much in poverty. They looked in South Asia, And they found that back in the early 90s, when poverty was much higher in that part of the world, 45% of unintended pregnancies were being aborted. That part of the world has increased significantly in income over the last 20 years. And yet when they looked again from 2015 to 2019, they found the percentage of unintended pregnancies being aborted had increased to 72%. So with greater affluence, they found that people were actually more likely to abort an unintended pregnancy than they had been before.
All right. Well, let's put on some analysis here. I mean, so it appears that women who could afford a baby are more likely to choose abortion if they find themselves unintendedly pregnant. What do you think that says about society?
Well, I think that when John Paul II talked about a culture of life and a culture of death, or when Pope Francis talks about a disposable society, that's really what we're talking about here. Because we're talking about people who believe that they have a lot more control over their lives, people who are more affluent, being 50% or more likely to abort an unintended pregnancy. Whereas people who are poorer, people who feel like they have less control over their lives and who are actually more likely to find themselves in an unintended pregnancy, they're only about a third of the time going to abort an unintended pregnancy. So I think what this shows is that it's not just a matter of dollars and cents. It's a matter of whether we're willing to accept the things that come to us in life. And there's really something that we need to look at and be inspired by there, and the sacrifices that people make who many would say can't afford a child and yet accept the child that come to them.
Most definitely, and really should bolster us as a pro-life community to figure out ways to help support them, all women who find themselves with unintended pregnancies. I mean, what then do you think are the challenges and the opportunities for the church specifically, having these statistics in our back pocket, Brendan?
So I think one of the things that this points to is that a lot of the women who are facing the possibility of abortion are women who are both poor. The vast majority of unintended pregnancies are had by women who are poor, but who want to keep their children. And so this puts in front of us the challenge of helping people in need be able to become parents as they want to become. It also really points to us the need to create a culture of life, because if for a lot of people, middle class affluence is based on the willingness to abort when something unexpected happens, that can't be the basis for our affluence in this country. And so we need to examine those assumptions.
Yeah. Children should not be considered a hindrance to affluence in our country. You are absolutely right. We've been talking to Brendan Hodge. You can go read his analysis on these statistics over at The Pillar, which is linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. Brendan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And of course, if you are marching for life today, we are praying for you here at the Sunrise Morning Show. Half past the hour now on the Sunrise Morning Show, it's time for news. Participants will be needing to bundle up, but organizers are still expecting a huge and enthusiastic crowd of pro-lifers at the D.C. March for Life today. The list of speakers for the rally on the National Mall include Father Mike Schmidt, actor Kirk Cameron, Duck Dynasty star Lisa Robertson, and two members of Congress. The theme for this year's march is Equality Begins in the Womb. The closing mass for the nationwide prayer vigil for life at the National Shrine begins at 8 a.m. Eastern time in about a half an hour's time with Boston's Cardinal Sean O'Malley as the principal celebrant. It will be broadcast live on EWTN following the Sunrise Morning Show. Last night, Archbishop William Laurie celebrated the opening mass of the nationwide prayer vigil. Alatea reports that while the mass was taking place, the organization that calls itself Catholics for Choice was using a projector to light up pro-abortion messages on the outside of the shrine, which received quick condemnation from Archbishop Salvatore Cordileone of San Francisco and others on social media. Inside that mass, Archbishop William Laurie said in his homily, quote, "Abortion is a tragic choice with lasting consequences. What is needed in such a situation is a witness to love and to life." He said, "The church does not give up on men and women who have chosen abortion. The church needs to bring light, healing, and hope, thus witnessing to the beauty of life, one woman and one child at a time," end quote. The Supreme Court has rejected another bid to block the Texas heartbeat law. Brian Shook reports.
The ruling was 6-3 along ideological lines. It's another setback for abortion providers who are trying to revive challenges to the law about 5 months after it went into effect. A federal appeals court had previously sent the case to the state's highest court, meaning the law will stay in place for the foreseeable future. I'm Brian Shook.
Former Indiana Senator Joe Donnelly has been confirmed as the next U.S. ambassador to the Holy See, a position that has been vacant since Joe Biden took office more than a year ago. Donnelly was appointed to be the 12th U.S. ambassador to the Holy See by President Biden last October. He was confirmed by a voice vote in the Senate yesterday. This weekend, Pope Francis will celebrate a special Mass for Word of God Sunday. From Vatican Radio, Linda Bordoni reports.
The Sunday of the Word of God is observed annually on the third Sunday of ordinary time after Christmas. Ever since Pope Francis established this celebration on the 30th of September 2019 to remind Catholics of the importance of knowing Scripture. As highlighted by the Pontifical Council for Promoting the New Evangelization, during the upcoming ceremony there will be some very significant moments. For the first time during the liturgy, the ministry of lector will be conferred on both lay men and women in a stable and institutionalized form through a special mandate. Previously, ministries were reserved only to men because they were considered preparatory to receiving holy orders. But a statement from the council explains that the well-established practice has confirmed that lay ministries, founded on the sacrament of baptism, can be entrusted to all the faithful who are suitable, whether male or female. Also during the celebration, the Pope will confer the newly established ministry of catechist on several members of the lay faithful, both women and men. Before the homily, they will be called by name and presented to the Church. After the homily, the lectors are given the Bible, the Word of God that they are called to proclaim. Catechists, on the other hand, are entrusted with a cross to recall the missionary character of the service they are about to administer. I'm Linda Bordoni.
Christian advocacy group Open Doors says Afghanistan is the most dangerous place in the world to be a Christian. The Catholic News Agency reports the country, now run by the Taliban, unseated North Korea for the top spot. North Korea now sits at number two. Somalia, Libya, Yemen, Eritrea, Nigeria, Pakistan, Iran, and India are the countries that round out the top 10. The Holy See has announced that because of ongoing COVID concerns, Pope Francis will be canceling this year's Lenten Spiritual Exercises retreat with the Roman Curia. A statement from the press office says the Holy Father has asked the Curia instead to make their own arrangements to withdraw in prayer on their own that week. That's the news. It's 35 past the hour. The Did you happen to receive any gift cards in your Christmas stocking this year? If you'll be spending a gift from Amazon, please remember to click our Amazon link at sunrisemorningshow.com before you start shopping. That's because a portion of the purchase price comes back to the show as commission, whether you use a gift card or a credit card. But you've got to click that Amazon link first. Consider it a bonus gift to the Sunrise Morning Show. Again, when you go shopping, click the Amazon link prominently placed for your clicking convenience at the top of sunrisemorningshow.com.
You listen to the Sunrise Morning Show? Well, imagine promoting your business right here to other listeners of the Sunrise Morning Show. You'll reach like-minded folk across the nation on over 300 radio stations, each of those stations with thousands and thousands of listeners, not to mention all the people who listen on Sirius Satellite and our online app. Find out more about national underwriting of the Sunrise Morning Show by emailing me, Leah, at sacredheartradio.com. L-E-A-H at sacredheartradio.com.
Cold mornings get a little better when you've got a good cup of hot coffee or tea to help warm you up and perk you up. And look no further than Mystic Monk Coffee for some delicious flavors made by real monks.
And when you click the Mystic Monk link at sunrisemorningshow.com, you support both the monks and the show because we get a commission every time you click that link and buy their products.
You can also purchase Sunrise Morning Show mugs and travel mugs, both $10 in our online store.
You can purchase those mugs and link to Mystic Monk Coffee at sunrisemorningshow.com.
A prayer to Our Lady of Lourdes, ever Immaculate Virgin, Mother of Mercy, health of the sick, refuge of sinners, comfort of the afflicted, you know my needs. I come, therefore, with the most unbounded confidence to implore your maternal intercession. Obtain, most loving Mother, my requests through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
Sunrise Morning Show continues. I'm Matt Swaim and Anna Mitchell. While we're working on getting Laura Mazzica on the line, I wanted to give people a heads up of some of the things that are going on today on EWTN that you can get coverage of. Of course, when we go off the air here in just a few minutes, you'll be able to get coverage of the closing mass of the National Prayer Vigil for Life broadcast from the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. So you can listen in on that. As a matter of fact, our next segment will be with Father Jonathan Duncan to give some thoughts on the readings that we'll be hearing at Mass today. And then, of course, at 9:30 a.m., we got full coverage of the March for Life. So EWTN does it wall-to-wall like nobody else does. And keep it tuned here. Otherwise, you're just going to be reading other people's sort of hot takes on it. Why do that when you can actually watch it yourself?
For real, man. For real.
And, of course, many of you won't be able to watch the March for Life because you're going to be there. Or you're going to be at marches in your own communities, and we applaud you for that. We're praying for you. We're praying that you stay warm and bundled up, and we're praying that the right people hear this message and have a change of heart on this question of the sanctity of human life. Just a couple of other program notes, too, Anna Mitchell, of some other things to tune in. Maybe when you get home from your marches and you're warming up with some hot chocolate and looking for something to watch tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, there's an EWTN program on TV on Venerable Jerome Lejeune.
Oh, man.
Who, of course, discovered the cause of Down syndrome. And unfortunately, that discovery of that cause has been used to kill a lot of unborn babies who are diagnosed with Down syndrome. So that's going to be at 8 p.m., the story of Jerome Lejeune, who himself was a tireless advocate for the pro-life cause. And then at 9 p.m., on EWTN, there's a story of St. Gianna Beretta Mola, a modern-day hero of divine love. And if you don't know her story, and
that's a story you want to know.
it's uniquely appropriate for today's March for Life festivities. Tomorrow, by the way, too, I don't want our West Coast listeners to think that we've forgotten about them just because you're happening on a weekend this year. But the Walk for Life West Coast is tomorrow. And you can find full coverage of that on EWTN tomorrow starting at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So lots and lots of pro-life coverage on EWTN today, Anna Mitchell.
Well, as it should be. And, of course, we are praying and fasting today for life. We are praying and fasting for the Supreme Court as... I mean, Matt, it is unbelievable to think. So tomorrow marks the 49th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, the decision that basically knocked down all state laws that would restrict abortion in any way. And we could see a post-Roe society by this time next year. And if you were listening last hour, you heard us talking about talking with Jeannie Mancini, the president of the March for Life, and got from her a few ideas, some plans that they have in place that, I mean, they would be implementing even if Roe is not overturned, but how important it is to be looking at the state level, to turn our attention to the state level. And they're organizing now statewide marches for life, because that is where this battle goes. If Roe v. Wade is indeed overturned this summer, but I do hope, I really do hope she thinks about making the National March
making
for Life
in
June.
Well, what if the 50th March for Life, if this is the 49th, I mean, what if the 50th March for Life was a celebration of the fact that we could talk about an end to Roe v. Wade officially and could now focus our efforts on those other fights. Of course, you know, the battle for the sanctity of life has never just been about Roe v. Wade. I know that when it comes to election years, especially presidential election years, that's the forefront of the conversation, but it's never been just about that. Never even just been about what's happening in the state legislatures. It's a battle that takes place at every level of government. It happens at the level of the United Nations, of course, but it also happens in hearts and homes. And as you were just talking about with Brendan Hodge, I mean, we got a battle on our hands if, as an affluent society, one of the most affluent societies in the world, the thought of an unplanned pregnancy could cause people who maybe aren't even in poverty to say, this is just this is an inconvenience.
Well, it means that we need to start thinking about policies. I mean, one thing that I didn't get to bring up with Brendan just because of, you know, time is becoming quite the hobby horse for me. And I cannot wait to talk to Dr. Helen Alvare more about this, who is an expert on family law. I mean, I really hope that she becomes a national voice, a voice that the nation is listening to when it comes to family law and supporting the family, particularly when it comes to businesses. We are one of the only countries in the world that does not have a pregnancy leave policy. We are a country in which prominent businesses sign petitions protesting pro-life laws because they say their women can't work well, can't succeed in their companies without a right to abortion.
Which says an awful lot more about the company's philosophies than it does about the state of
exactly. Exactly. We need to – there are so many ways that we need to be working to create a culture of life. And, of course, as we were talking with Jeannie Mancini, the first major hurdle is to see Roe v. Wade overturned. But there are all of these other ways –
and there are all kinds of victories we've been having
for.
In all kinds of ways, around this topic. There have been challenges, of course, that have come to the Supreme Court. There have been things going on at the state and federal and local levels on issues that haven't yet taken down Roe v. Wade. But, you know, the other thing, too, Anna Mitchell, when we're talking about a culture of life and a culture of death, every aspect of American society, it seems, is structured to make us think of ourselves as individual consumers, as individual actors mm-hmm. in a society. And as Ken Craycraft was talking last hour, I mean, that's part of why so much of our language is skewed in these debates. It's all about what is best for me personally as an individual, and to just really understand that, you know, we are in a human family. We share a common home on planet Earth, right? We are called to love our neighbor as ourselves and not just called to get what we can get for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so it's a question that, you know, when we talk about Catholic social teaching, first of all, you know, all the issues are connected. But why do we talk about this one first? Because it affects the way that we think about all the other ones that are connected to this issue. If you get it wrong on the question of abortion, you're going to get it wrong in a whole lot of other things, too. And so that's why it's so important for us to remember that all these things are connected. Is it any wonder that we're in a society that reduces us to digital noise in the metaverse, a society that pits people of different skin color against one another, a society that forgets a society that, you know, diminishes the rights of people with disabilities? Is it any wonder all those things are happening if we can't get that first question right? Mm-hmm. So...
exactly.
End of my soapbox.
It was a good soapbox.
I suppose so. But in the meantime, we're going to hit a break. We got headlines with Anna Mitchell coming up next. And then Father Jonathan Duncan with some thoughts on the mass readings for this memorial of St. Agnes, Virgin and Martyr, which, of course, will lead us into full coverage on EWTN of the closing mass for the Vigil for Life. Stay with us if you can. It's a quarter till.
Are you looking for peace? Longing for joy? Want to meet the giver of all goodness? God is calling the laity to bring Ignatian prayer into a suffering world. Work for the new evangelization. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com. Order your free digital training and manual. Find true happiness and everlasting joy. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com
and click on the red button today.
It's free. Approved by the USECB.
Support for the Sunrise Morning Show is from Visiting Angels.
Visiting Angels provides experienced, compassionate care to millions of aging adults nationwide by keeping them safe and healthy in the comfort of their own home. Whether it's a short break for caregivers or for long-term assistance, Visiting Angels provides hygiene, meals, light housework, companionship, and more. And services are available up to 24 hours per day. Visiting Angels, online at visitingangels.com. That's visitingangels.com. Franchise opportunities available. Amazon has a new way to grocery shop. Purchase your groceries online and have them delivered for free within 2 hours.
If you're looking to use Amazon for groceries, don't forget those purchases can benefit the Sunrise Morning Show when you go first to sunrisemorningshow.com and click our Amazon link.
Of course, any purchase you make after clicking that link will earn us a commission without costing you anything extra.
So, if you'd like to shop for tonight's dinner from the comfort of your couch, go first to sunrisemorningshow.com and click Amazon.
That's sunrisemorningshow.com, click Amazon.
When I was outside of the church, there was always an unsettled feeling. There was always a feeling of something missing and something not complete. The deal clincher is we found our way to our parish, and we met just an incredible pastor. We learned things that we'd never been taught. Wouldn't be the person that I am without the church and without the sacraments, particularly the Eucharist. I can't live without it.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett, host of Catholic Answers Live. Are you kidding me? Rose Sweet and Dr. Ray Guarendi. That's a good Friday show. Catholic Answers Live, 6 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Now, back to the Sunrise Morning Show.
12 till, here's Anna with headlines.
Participants will be needing to bundle up, but organizers of the National March for Life are still expecting a huge and enthusiastic crowd of pro-lifers on the National Mall today. The Supreme Court is rejecting another bid by the abortion lobbies to block the Texas heartbeat law, and former Indiana Senator Joe Donnelly has been confirmed as the next U.S. ambassador to the Holy See.
News at the top and bottom of each hour every weekday morning here on the Sunrise Morning Show. And normally, this time on a Friday, we talk to Father Jonathan Duncan, a priest of the Diocese of Charleston, about the Sunday Mass readings, but there's so much going on today with the March for Life in D.C. and locally in so many places that we figure we're going to talk about that instead. Father Duncan, welcome back to the show.
It's good to be back, Matt.
Yeah, and, you know, with the March for Life, you know, some people may realize this because you've mentioned it before, that you were an Episcopalian priest, a married one, when you became Catholic. And so as an ordained Catholic priest, you've got, you know, that whole family with you. I wonder how that's caused you to reflect on the question of the sanctity of life on a day like today.
Yeah, it's, you know, of course, it was not something that was on my radar even really as an Anglican priest, even though we were certainly pro-life. But I think if coming into the church, realizing that what the church offers is really an embrace of life in its fullness and being open to all of Catholic teaching, Catholic social teaching, that was a new thing for us. And it was certainly, I know, revolutionary for my family and our embrace of this and the gospel of life and being willing, you know, I think at the heart for us and for all of us. And I was reading over, you sort of made me do some extra homework. I was reading over the readings for the upcoming Mass for Life. And this idea that, you know, you can't say you love God and then hate your brother. That what that means at its heart and what it means to be pro-life at its heart is to be willing to be inconvenienced by life and by God coming to us in our life through our brothers, through our fellow Christians, and that if we say, I hate them and yet I love God, St. John says we're liars. And so I think at the heart that's what it's about, that openness. And in the gospel today that you'll hear at the Mass for Life, we hear about the one person who was absolutely most opposed to this good news, which is Herod, who saw the coming of this Messiah, the entry of God into the world, as nothing but an inconvenience, as a threat, And as a result of that, he absolutely opposed it. And, of course, we know from history, this is a man who murdered his own sons. He murdered his own sons because they were a threat to his life. They were a threat to his comfort. They were a threat to his power. And that, I think, is a chilling sort of counter-witness as we contemplate what does it mean to live the faith in this culture of life. And it's to be open. It's to be open to it. And that's, I think, I think that's a powerful thing. I was going sort of back and forth on whether I would mention this, but my fifth child was born 11 days ago. And soon after he was diagnosed with Down syndrome, soon after his birth. And he's such a blessing already to us. But life is not always easy, and it's often complicated and can be painful at times. And I know that he is this blessing for our marriage, for our family, and yet that openness to it, it's given me a new perspective on this day with the March for Life happening, of the beauty and just the complicatedness of life, but being open to that and being open to how God blesses us through it, even when life is not easy, but still beautiful, like that's what it means to be open to the gospel of life.
You know, I hesitate to be too hard on people who talk like this or think like this, because I know this is how I thought and talked before, you know, I experienced parenthood. And, you know, it can be common to say, well, I want to wait to have children until I'm ready, right? And, you know, that might be an act of prudence, and you want to, you know, prepare the situation as you can. But let's face it, ain't nobody ever ready to have a kid. I mean,
no.
There's no way.
You're always caught off guard. All the blogs in the world, you are always caught off guard thinking, what in the hell am I doing?
Oh, my gosh. Every single 100 times a day, you know, you've got that. And, you know, one of these days, our children are going to find us out and realize that we've been winging it this whole time. But, you know, it really is important, I think, for us to remember that, you know, it's terrifying. It's scary. It's an awesome responsibility. Yes. I mean, it will rock your world to look into the eyes of another human being that you had a part in making. But it is worth it.
Absolutely. And I think that's why St. John ties it so much together with our relationship with the Lord, because it's, you know, being open to this life, this gift of life and reality that is at the same time both scary and yet beautiful, both comforting and yet also both kind of knocking you off your feet and saying, okay, what am I doing? How am I going to handle this next? Like, that's our journey of faith, right? It's this path of, it's both beautiful, but it's not easy. And we're not called to this easy life. We're called to a beautiful, holy, loving, sacrificial life, and a life of blessing, but not a life of ease. And that's what being a parent is all about.
Well, we are praying for every parent today who is weighing the decision of whether or not to move ahead with their parenthood, if they're faced with a difficult situation, that God will intervene and show them the beauty of this gift of human life. I wonder if you could offer maybe just a quick blessing for all of our marchers today before we let you go.
Absolutely. And I'll pray especially for the intercession of my son's Peter Joseph. And so I'm going to pray for the intercession of St. Peter, and especially the intercession of St. Joseph, who knew what it was like to be surprised by the coming of a child, and surprised by a child that would mean a different kind of life than he anticipated. So let us pray. Lord, we pray through the intercession of Peter and Joseph and all your saints that you would pour out your blessing on all fathers and mothers to be and their children. We pray that the saints and angels would intercede and watch over them, and that your blessing would rest upon them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you so much, Father Jonathan Duncan. Always appreciate you. Have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks.
All right. That wraps it up for the Sunrise Morning Show, the pregame show for the March for Life. Hopefully have gotten some great perspectives that'll help you today as you march in D.C. or wherever you happen to be marching. Up next, the closing mass for the Prayer Vigil for Life from D.C. on EWTN. May God bless you and keep you and grant you his peace.